When Thomas Mader meets people and they find out both of his parents were therapists, he's always asked the same question, did your parents analyze you? Well, that was the first question Mader posed to the 200 adult children of therapists he interviewed for his book, Children of Psychiatrists and Other Psychotherapists. He found out that very few parents actually sat their kids down and analyzed them. I asked him if there are other assumptions people made about him because of his parents' profession.
Well, as soon as people heard that my father was a psychoanalyst, the first thing they always said was, oh, well, so that's why you're crazy, or, well, why aren't you crazy then, depending on what they happen to think of my particular mental health. But it was never in an unpleasant way, but there was certainly a rampant stereotype that shrinks kids are supposed to be nuts.
Where does that come from?
Well, I don't know. When you think about it, it's a little bit odd that people whose training and experience really ought to prepare them better than anyone else to be able to raise happy, healthy, normal, well-adjusted children are reputed to fail on this monumental sort of caricatural scale. And I think part of it is just because part of it is just a joke that people don't like psychiatrists and psychotherapists. They don't trust them. So I think in a way it's just a joking way to combat people's uneasiness. But at the same time, I think there's a certain amount of truth to it. I mean, the myth didn't just start from nothing. I think a lot of people go into psychotherapy as a profession because of their own problems or their own preoccupations or because they had an unhappy early life and are trying to come to grips with their problems, which in itself, I hasten to point out, isn't necessarily a disadvantage. I mean, I think it can be a positive advantage to have your own problems.
In terms of empathizing.
Sure, you're a more compassionate person and a better therapist as a result if you come to grips with your problems and resolve them.
A lot of therapists have their offices in their home. And I think that was the case with at least one of your parents.
They both had offices in the home, yeah.
What were the rules of the house in your house pertaining to being around where the offices were?
Well, in my house, we couldn't go downstairs. Both of the offices were on the first floor, and we lived upstairs. We couldn't go in or out or downstairs between 10 minutes of the hour and the hour, which was when the changing of the patients took place. And obviously, we always used to hang around at the stairway and peer down and try to see who these mysterious people were and listen at the doors sometimes. And frankly, it wasn't really very interesting. They looked like any other grown-ups, and they didn't really have very much to say that was particularly exciting for a young kid.
Now, was this a common thing that children of therapists would try to sneak peeks at who the patients were or try to eavesdrop at the door?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're awfully curious about this because you know that something extremely important is happening. There's certainly an aura, however explicitly you understand it, of something. I mean, later you know that there's something sexual involved in all of this, and you know that something forbidden and bizarre is going on that you're not supposed to know anything about and that nobody is supposed to know anything about.
Did you find in interviewing the children of therapists that a lot of them felt that they were brought up according to the school of thought that their parents subscribed to, for instance, brought up in a Freudian way or brought up in a behavioral way?
Some of them yes and some of them no. I mean, some behavioral, kids of behavioral therapists, and I didn't really talk to very many of them, did think that they were brought up according to behavioral principles. There was one fascinating person that I talked to, Jonathan Moreno, whose father was the founder of psychodrama, and his family was brought up in entirely according to psychodramatic principles, and they used to do role reversals at the dinner table whenever any problem arose. And he found it infuriating. He just wanted to talk about problems. He got sick and tired of role reversals, and he said, can't we just talk and just discuss this sort of thing? The kids were certainly very aware of what it was their parents were. I mean, Freud was the god in a lot of the families because Freudian psychoanalysis had essentially replaced religion as far as some of the parents were concerned. So in that sense, you knew very clearly, what school they belonged to, but you didn't really necessarily know what that meant in any detail.
One of the people who you interviewed told you this. They said, in my family, I was never allowed to hate anybody. If I came home from school and said, I hate so-and-so, I'd always have to understand why the person did what he did. The bully was the bully because he was insecure. Was this a typical response that you got from the children of
therapists? Yeah, I think that happened a lot. And almost the worst thing about that is you have to be very compassionate and understanding of other people. Other people, no matter what they do, they never did it out of malice. They did it because of some thing that they didn't understand and couldn't help. But then almost the worst thing is that same excuse is not available to you because you're the kid of the therapist. You've been taught this. You've heard it over and over again. And you should be a little bit bigger than to do the same thing. And it puts you in a very different, I mean, sometimes you just want to be annoyed at the other person, and that can be a very healthy response.
For a lot of young children, their parents seem godlike. You suggest that for the children of therapists, this is even a bigger problem sometimes, because therapists sometimes think of themselves as godlike, so the parents seem especially godlike to their children.
Well, I think that's true, and also the children tend to see the parents being regarded as godlike by a lot of people around them, by their friends and by the kids' friends' parents. And
What's difficult about that for children?
Well, if you think that your parents are more of an authority than there are, I mean, it's a little bit harder to break away from them. It's a little harder to contradict them. It can also have a funny effect. I mean, I'm not really sure what the overall effect of it is, but you end up, in a lot of cases, with the kids feeling as though they're sort of the members of a sort of priest class, in a sense, because it's disconcerting for a lot of the kids to have this odd experience where you see your parents tend to be a little bit disdainful of patients. I mean, not necessarily in a bad way, and I wouldn't say that the therapists all look down on their patients, but simply if you do something day after day, everybody has a certain odd attitude about their job, and patients can be a nuisance, and they tend to call up, and they try to call people at home, and they plague their therapists, and they become pests. So the kids sometimes see their parents looking down in a certain way on the patients, and these are patients who have fairly major problems. On the other hand, the parents get very concerned over even minor problems that the kids have, and it sort of seems that somehow even your little problems are much more important than the big problems that other people have. And it can be kind of odd, because it reinforces this notion that your parents are very special and important, and somehow you're kind of included in that envelope of importance.
Can I ask you a personal question? Have you ever been in analysis yourself?
No, I haven't.
Did your parents ever want you to be in analysis?
No, they always made it very clear that it was available, that if there were problems, there was no reason to feel ashamed of seeking therapeutic help. I mean, it was always something that was there, and you know, money was available. This was something that it was important, and I think that's a fairly common thing that I mean, the parents certainly believe in therapy, and if anything, they may be overly willing to get therapy for their kids.
The people who you interviewed for your study had the benefit of confidentiality. We know who you are, and if I ask you questions about your relationship to your parents, you don't have that benefit of confidentiality. Are you uncomfortable at all about having written this book about the children of therapists, where the therapists don't always come off looking that good? I mean, how did your parents feel about you writing the book?
Well, my parents are both dead. So
I see. Okay.
It's indifferent to them. I mean, I think they would have been very interested in the results. I'm a little bit concerned about it in a sense, just because some of the responses that I've been getting from people, mostly from therapists, is that they view it as being a totally negative book. And, you know, I try to be very careful about that, because I don't think that it's an entirely negative experience, but it is a book that looks mostly at the negative experiences. So I'm not concluding that they all have problems. And I don't really want people to get that impression, because I never set out to trash psychotherapy or psychotherapists. So that's a concern that I do have about it.
What do you think therapists maybe ought to think about in terms of being parents as a result of your book?
Well, I mean, in a way, not dealing with your kids terribly artificially. I mean, I think that some of them seem to, you know, feel that they had a not particularly happy childhood, and through their learning and professional techniques, they want to make life more wonderful for their kids than their own had been. And it's not really necessarily possible, and it's not even necessarily a good idea. I mean, there's something good about kids knowing that their parents are human and fallible, and dealing with things on a more human level. And it's certainly not a great idea to immediately farm your kids out to therapy at any sign of a problem, and take the quasi-enlightened point of view that we should seek professional help when there's a problem. I mean, it may be uncomfortable to deal with the problems and to thrash them out, but that's part of life and part of growing up and part of what helps the kids establish their own independence and eventually become mature adults who are capable of leaving home.